Hey family,
welcome to the Janae That's Good podcast.
It's Janae, and today
we're talking Save Now What part 5.
But first, let's pray.
Father God, we thank you for this podcast. We thank you for using us as your mouthpieces, Lord God. We pray that you be in the midst, Lord God, for we know that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there. We pray that you touch the listeners, Father God, open up their ears to receive, their eyes to receive, their hearts to receive in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, Father God, that this touches and blesses someone on today. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace, mercy, and love. Now we give it over to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I'm going to start by saying this. The church is not what saves you. It is Jesus Christ. Is the church necessary? Yes. It is his body. It is his bride. We are the church. What is the church? We are the church. It goes back to being around like-minded believers. I think nowadays it's difficult to find good physical church buildings.
Right.
But the definition of a church is a gathering of believers. It's a gathering of Christians. It's a gathering of those who, again, are like-minded. And teaching and moving in the ministry and things of God. I think that we need God's guidance on what church that we should attend physically, because there are a lot of churches that are that emotionally manipulate, spiritually manipulate, that have witchcraft in it, that you know, pray on you instead of praying for you, those kind of things. And so when we decide to go to an actual church building, right, we should be able to look at the fruits and look and have discernment and know and ask the Holy Spirit, is this the kind of church that I that you want me at or need me at, or what church should I go to where your spirit is there? Because what is a gathering without the Holy Spirit? He himself, this is Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That itself is a church. You have, when you go to a building, you see teachers, you see prophets, you see evangelists, you see pastors. They're all gathered together. That is the church. It is for the equipping of the body, for the saints, for the work of ministry. When you're working in your ministry, when you are walking in your gifting, to equip the saints, to equip believers, to equip the people that are in the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ, that is church.
Even if you're not physically going to a building every Sunday. Yes, mm-hmm. I agree with that, because you could be going to a physical building that is classified or labeled as a church and the Holy Spirit not even be there.
Exactly. What is a gathering without the Holy Spirit? What is church without the Holy Spirit?
Right. It's the people gathering together, working in their gifts to edify the body of Christ, to edify God.
And I encourage you guys to go into the Blue Letter Bible and not take our word for it, but to go into the Blue Letter Bible. The definition says a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. So it can be in the middle of the street. It's the assembly of the people, the assembly of the Israelites, any gathering of men assembled by chance, in a Christian sense, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship. So I even go to that scripture where God says that his house should be a house of prayer. Even with us being the house of God, we're supposed to stay in prayer. So if I gathered with my friends and we did worship, we worshiped God together. Mind you, I'm not having worldly friends, so this should say something. I'm gathered with my friends. Me and you are gathered. Me, you, mom, whatever. We're gathered and we're worshiping God.
Right.
We are having church.
Yes, absolutely. If you are operating in your gift,
yes,
your ministry to edify God, you are the church.
To edify the body of Christ.
Yes.
Yes. When you are operating in your gifting, like you said, we are having church.
Yes.
Okay. Now, it's just that people have created buildings for us to do it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is good. I'm not against that. Like, I love that. We love church. You know what I'm saying? We love that. Find you a good church, but you have to discern if it is the right one. And if somebody is coming up to you telling you that you're not saved, you're not really saved because you're not in a church building, that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Which is why it is imperative to read your Bible.
Yes.
Because literally, when people come up against you, people that you may view as spiritually mature,
yep,
or spiritual
Christians,
leaders or whatever, when people come up to you, and to be honest with you, so we watched something yesterday that talked about this. And when I reflected in my own life, it's true. A lot of times people ask you, do you go to church, more than they ask you,
what's your relationship
yep, with God?
Mm-hmm.
So that lets you know what they're in their own perception, that they've put the building as their idol, versus asking you, what is your relationship with Christ? Because you can go to church every Sunday. And I've been guilty of this in the past. You can go to church every Sunday and still have a life that reflects sin. You can go to the building every Sunday and still have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. It is only when you truly have experienced Christ and built a relationship with Christ that full transformation can happen. And of course, who would not want to be able to be around like-minded and fellow believers all worshiping together on one accord?
Yeah.
Edifying the body of Christ.
The Christian walk can be lonely. How do I make Christian friends or find community?
So here's what I'll say. Yes, the Christian walk can be lonely. But we have to rest in the fact that God said that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the moments, and we also, this is a big one, I have to remind myself this daily, multiple times a day. Feelings aren't facts. Your feelings can't lead you. Your feelings and your emotions don't rule you, right? You have to make sure that the Holy Spirit is at the seat of your emotions, right? The reason why I say that is because you can feel something that is contrary to what is actually happening and going on. With that being said, there will be moments where you may have to be the only one in your family that stands for Christ. Are you going to retract, or are you going to turn back from what you know God has told you, or what your views are based on biblical principles, because you are outnumbered, because the majority does not side or agree with you? So once again, it kind of goes back to the other question that we talked about earlier, right? You have to accept that you're set apart.
Yeah.
So you have to say, okay, to yourself, there may be moments where I may have to walk alone. Am I willing to do that? Because ultimately, if you're not willing to do that, what you're saying is that I care more about people than my relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's number one, the accepting being set apart part. Number two, you must allow God to lead you to your community. The problem is that we like to lead ourselves. We like to go under our own authority. We like to go based on the opinion of others or whatever the case may be. We have to understand that the move of God is going to be far greater and better for us than the move of ourself and moving in self, right? And I think that sometimes the enemy banks on the fact of us being so desperate and craving, because it says it's not good for man to be alone, right? So that doesn't just to apply to as far as with marriage. That's just in general. We were created to be in community, right? However, it's not supposed to be an idol, right? So I think it's very important to make sure that we allow God to lead us to our people and allow God to bring those people to us versus us going out and ignorantly seeking out on our own without the guidance of the Holy Spirit who we should be around, mm-hmm. right? And then a big one I will say is we need to heal. Mm-hmm. We need to heal because if you don't heal, what will happen is your traumas and your wounds, your internal traumas, your internal wounds that were not healed are going to draw in spirits and you will make those spirits your community and not even realize that you are yoking yourself to generational curses. You are yoking yourself to witchcraft. You're yoking yourself to having demonic covenants with people. And you may be wondering why certain warfare is happening and going on. And it's literally because the unhealed parts of you latched on to the unhealed parts of someone else. And it you decided to create that or allow that to be your community. So it's very important because guess what? I'll even say this. The parts of me that were unhealed and the friendships, relationships, experience that the unhealed part of me wanted, the part that is healed and the part that is still continuously healing no longer wants that. So you don't even really know who you are until you begin to heal. Yeah. Because it's things that I thought that I wanted and things that I, but it was actually my flesh that wanted it, or it was a substitution for what I really needed, which was in the kingdom and which was in Christ. So it was just a substitution for me not having what I really needed, which is God. So healing, accepting being set apart, allowing God to lead you to your community bring your community to you. And just trusting that, yes, there are going to be some moments where you feel lonely, mm-hmm. but understand that you are never truly alone because God is with you. And it's nothing wrong with wanting community. You cannot, the thing that makes it wrong is you cannot want community more than you want God.
Yeah. I think that we need to learn to be content in all seasons of life. Like in Philippians 4:11, it talks about how, you know, he learned to be content in whatever state that he was in. So a lot of the time when we go looking for things for ourselves without the Holy Spirit's guidance, or we have ideas that are actually tied to idolatry, it can lead us outside of God's will. Did you pray and give God your concern about fellowship and companionships? Did you pray about it? Do you know what God has to say about it? Did you study God's word? Like you said, that it says that it's not good for man to be alone. Okay, then how do I go about this? Because in those moments that we feel alone, are we going to God or are you going to your contact list? Are we going to social media? Are we going to, just hang out with stuff that God wouldn't even approve of, you know? What does community look like to God? You know what I'm saying? Study those things, see what he has to say about it. There's no issue with looking for a community of believers, but are you involving God in that search? Are you running that search by God? Meaning, are you getting the green light to go out and look for friends? Because if we be honest, like you said, some of us need healing from friendship hurt and relationship hurt before we can even receive a good friend from God. You don't even know how to handle a good friend. If the good friend comes along and tries to correct you or convict you, how are you going to handle that? Like, are you going to ruin the friendship? You get what I'm saying? Because I think that, like you said, like we get, and then again, like we get ahead of ourselves where it's like, okay, well, now I'm in Christ. Let me try to, like, I'm going to, but you don't know what you're ready for, but God does. We have to go through that season where he is pruning us and he's getting us together and that we have an open heart to him so that when he brings us around good, godly people, that we're able to receive them. my thing is, you know, a lot of the time we could end up messing it up. We could ruin it. We could pervert it. We could self-sabotage it, right?
Absolutely.
So I just think about, we just need to go back to Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Ask him, God, what do I need to do to prepare my heart to receive what it is that I want? Because I'm desiring this thing, but I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I know that your word says that it's not good for man to be alone. So God, help me and guide me and show me who is my community. I think that we should start there first. And then just see, because I know I didn't start there. Literally,
I didn't. Which is why I didn't. Which is why a lot of things transpired because of that.
Exactly.
But you know what? Hearing you say that, literally, impatience looks like compromise. That's what I got when you were talking. Impatience looks like compromise. Because what happens is, prime example, man, say you want to eat at this restaurant, right? And it's healthy for you. But they tell you, like, the line is really long. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to. Man, this line is so long. So you leave there and you go try another restaurant. Oh, wow, nobody's in the line. You go eat at that restaurant and that food tear your stomach up, right? Mm-hmm. Because you were impatient, you compromised and you left where you were at and you moved and went to another restaurant without even consulting or seeking God on whether you should leave and go to the restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. You just made the change on your own. And as a result of that, now your stomach is all jacked up. Mm-hmm. Versus you staying in the line, even though it was long, being patient and getting the healthy food that you know that you truly needed and wanted.
So we really have to be honest with ourselves and with God. In John 4:24-25, it talks about, John 4:24-25, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So worship also means to make supplication. So when you come to God, you have to be honest about where you're at. Like, God, I want a good friend. I want some good friendships. I want a community. I want to find a good church, but I need help stewarding them. I need help in healing. I need forgiveness. I need help letting go and trusting. And he will tell you all things. Tell means to rehearse, meaning practice for later performance. So don't be surprised when he puts you in positions to practice the very things that you're asking for. What boundaries need to be in place for you? These are things you need to sit down and study the scripture and inquire God in prayer about. Don't be scared to talk to people and be open to God to work on these things and mold you into the person that he wants you to be and that you also desire to be. I mean, he gives you the desires of your heart the more that you delight in him. But it's like, when he telling you things, when I saw that tell means to rehearse,
right?
I was like, wow. Because that means he speaks to us in certain situations as well. So when he gives us opportunities to practice, that is him saying, you know what? Here you go.
Janae, that's good. We really hope this episode blessed y'all and got you thinking.
If you haven't already, go back and catch the previous episodes. Trust me, you don't want to miss.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, or you can stream straight from our website, whatever works for you.
Subscribe, leave a review, share it with your cousin, your prayer group, your mama, your daddy, your grandpappy, your auntie.
And we want to hear from you. Let us know what you thought about this episode. DM us your questions or comments on IG at JaneeThat'sGood or email us through our website at JaneeThat'sGood.com.
And keep your eyes open because our Janae That's Good t-shirts are coming real soon.
We love y'all, and until next time,
that's good, and so is he.